Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today's March 10th, 2010. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us each Wednesday night as we talk with real people, hearing real stories and about real changes, as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have Miss Teresha Kirsch. She is the director of the new movie that's out, 10 to 20, and we'll talk to her tonight about that. Let me go ahead and introduce my co-host, Boyd.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen. You already know what it is. We out here doing what we do, bringing you live people, good people that's out here doing their thing and want to motivate other people to do their thing, you know, on a positive note. And knowing that you can do what you want to do and you can be who you want to be, and don't let nobody tell you you can't, you know. So we're going to, unfurther ado, we're going to switch it right over to the main lady of the hour, the producer, director of the 1020, and we want to just pass the mic and let you formally introduce yourself, and let's get it on the roll.
Hello, everyone. I'm Teresha Kirsch. I am the director of 1020, and I look forward to discussing the film more with you guys.
All right, all right. So now we're going to get into it. We would just like to ask you, can you tell the audience a little bit about your background, where you come from, how did you get into wanting to do films, and we'll take it from there.
Okay, well, I was born in Fort Hood, Texas, and kind of traveled all over the world. My mom was in the military. Well, she was in the Army. And ended up in Florida for a majority of my life, graduated college in Brooklyn Heights, New York, at St. Francis College. And I've always had a love for film, but it's not until college where I discovered I can actually be a director, and that's what I wanted to be. I was originally studying criminology and criminal justice. I actually went to high school for criminal justice, but once I got to college and, you know, actually discovered that I could actually become a director, I fell in love. I totally fell in love, and here I am 4 years later. I graduated in 2005, and, you know, I have a film, 1020, an award-winning film, actually.
Is this your first film?
This is my first. It's my first feature, yes.
And can you tell us what this film is about, what it's based on, and maybe the inspiration for it?
Okay, well, the inspiration came from my brother, and the film title, 1020, is based on the 1020 life law in Florida. If you're in possession of a gun and you don't have a license for it, it's 10 years. If you aim that gun at someone with the intent to shoot or kill, it's 20 years to life. And on my brother's first felony charge, he received life. And it was a felony charge because he actually robbed someone at an ATM machine, and it was on bank's property. So it's considered technically bank robbery. And so the story is based on his life and everything that happened that led up to that point.
All right, Dan. You know, we just wanted to say that to the audience, the trailer that we've been seeing, it is definitely a dramatic trailer, and it's going to be definitely a great, great film for people to go out and get your tickets to the movies and bring your family, because it's definitely a must-see film, because she's definitely letting people know that the streets don't love you back, you know. And
really don't.
For all you youths out here, and a lot of you older cats too, you know, you have to learn and start trying to be an asset to these young youths out here instead of trying to be, you know, something that you ain't. You know what I mean? Pull your pants up and start acting right out here and directing these young youths onto something very positive out here, you know? So we want to just revert back to, you say the film is based on your brother. Can you elaborate on a little bit about your brother and, you know, the film a little bit more?
Yeah, well, when my mom was younger, my mom gave her youngest child to my aunt because she was raped as a child and she couldn't have kids and she really wanted kids. At the age of about 11 or 12, my aunt puts my brother on the bus and tells him that she's not his mother and sends him to live with us. So now the tables are turned. I'm no longer his cousin. You know, I'm his sister. My mom is no longer his aunt, you know, but his mom, and it literally turned his world upside down. And I really don't feel like he knew how to cope with it. So in terms of just telling his life story, I also wanted to, you know, make people aware of how secrets can destroy families and how it devastates the youth, because in some families, you know, people don't believe in therapy, they don't believe in counseling, but you have to give a child some type of outlet. Like, kids aren't strong enough to deal with the things you think they're mentally capable of.
Right.
They're just not that strong.
I definitely agree with that, because you know, I have to revert back to when I witnessed my stepfather get murdered when I was 9 years old, you know. So I can definitely relate to a lot of things you just spoke on, but I have to also thank God for me being a very, very strong person, you know, and having my mother as a role model in my life, as someone I could always grasp to mentally in my mind, you know, to know I did not want to do nothing to really fail her, because I was the oldest and I knew my mother depended on me through life, you know. And even though I made a lot of mistakes, you have to have something to hold on to. So I definitely agree with you that if you're not a strong person, you'll go under very, very fast, you know?
Yes,
and
I agree.
And it don't take but a snap of a finger to go up under with any kind of incident that can turn your life upside down. So I'm definitely in a coherence with you on that right there. When the young man heard that, you know, that flipped him all up, like, wow, what's really going on, you know?
Yeah, so he didn't basically know who to trust. He had no foundation.
Right.
So.
Right, and you know, with that being said and done, we're going to take a short recess, and we're going to go to a song and a commercial, and we'll be right back with one of the greatest directors that's going to be living on the face of Earth of 10 to 20. Right back.
The money, the rise to power, violence, gangs, drugs, death, self-destruction, prison. The true life story of Detroit kingpin Rob Boyd. A must-read book. This book will be available online, worldwide. To order at thestreetsdontloveyouback.name.com, at amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, indiebound.org, and borders.com. Also available in Detroit at Harlem World Books and Videos and at Humane Bookstore on Frederick Douglass Boulevard. It's everywhere, so go ahead and order your autographed copy today. The streets don't love you back.
What's up, what's up? This RB checking in, but the streets don't love you back. The movement is on, baby. Letting you know, me and LD, talking about that thug/drug life. Let me tell you a little lesson, players. In these streets, baby, they'll never love you back. Trust that.
But know these streets, if they don't love you,
Everybody's around here talking about all that thug life, player. Talking about that drug dealing thing. Tell you, baby, it's about getting your life together, getting your head on tight, doing something with your life and stop destroying your community and stop destroying yourself, baby. But when the people come at you, they come for real, player. Homeboys on my team done got 400 million before, baby. 100 million, baby. Now they sitting on death row, baby. That's where you want to be, player? Because the drug game is washed up. The thug game is washed up, baby. They put it in our communities, baby, and they tell us off the top, yeah, you can make this, you can make that, but once they come for you, game over, lights out. Do what you feel, do what you want to do, baby, but join the movement. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. Come on, come on. Here, it's a track of knowledge, you feel me? Want all young brothers and sisters across America to understand that the drug game, the thug life, that's all washed up right now. Take heed, learn from players that done live that life, you feel me? Much love to my man, the real freeway Ricky Ross. Jeff Step Down, May 4th. We sending you much love out there to Cali, you feel me? Much love to everybody across state to state who roll with the movement. It's time to open your eyes up, people. It's time to rise up above all this street thing. You feel me? It's a better way. Let's do this.
It's moments like this when my back's against the fence that I say, fuck the fence. Life is just, I gotta go and get a bit. God, he caught up the moon. Shit, I'm strong. It started from my home, so I'm at home when pressure's on. We all alone when we born, we all alone when we die. We need to get our shit together. We can make it if we try. Can probably fake it if you cry. But I hate it when you whine. And if all is true with us, then you can take it when you die. I'm on my grind, cause all I got is time. But maybe it's enough, but if it's not, then let me know. Cause I feel like I'm on bus, I'm overstuffed with propaganda. This is slander. Lies, try to slick the public and then wonder why there's crimes and murders on the rise, cause we ain't got a dime. Shit, I'ma hurt some fucking body, you see it in my eyes. I lie awake sometimes at night and find out how to get ahead. Jump out of bed, paranoid, I'm going backwards instead. Feel like my feet is full of lead, cause I just can't move. Freestyle life off the head, cause I don't know what to do. I need to make a couple moves. Ooh, I need to make a couple moves. I need to make a couple moves, but I gotta stay free, cause each and everything I do and say affects my seed. Decide what's the truth, separated from fallacy. Separate what I want from the things that I need, and try to make a way for everything to be okay. Stay focused on my goals, don't you never stray away. Let the past be the past, and your future's okay. Pay attention to the present, living in it every day. Come on,
it's all be checking back in with you. Like I said, it's that traffic knowledge. Then you young brothers and sisters understand that, hey, the street life, that's a dead issue, that's a dead game, that's all washed up. Let's get our life together, let's do what we need to do. Let's love more, hate none. RB, love, one. Much love to Lucinda, my manager, and my man LD. Let's do it. 100. Out.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome right back here at the Streets and Love You Back radio show. Like we promised you, with one of the greatest directors going down in history of the 1020, and we back kicking it live. And I'm going to pass the mic over to the missus for she can finish kicking it.
Okay. Now, Teresa, how did this situation with your brother affect your mother and your aunt after your brother went through this?
Well, it affected their relationship in a very negative way because my aunt never, you know, notified my mother as to what she had done until my brother was already on the bus, you know, so it wasn't a situation where she gave my mother an opportunity for them to all sit down and, you know, talk to my brother. It was very spontaneous. So now my mom just has to deal with the outcome of everything. So from that point on, her and my brother were just, they never really was seeing eye to eye because, you know, my brother's really angry from everyone lying to him in his entire life. So he doesn't feel like he knows who he can trust, you know, they, so
the feeling of abandonment that he must have had, you know.
Yes, and still, because it's like he's locked up now, and it's not like anyone goes to visit him. Like, yes, I write him, but, you know, I'm in California. He's in prison in Florida.
Now,
so
how much time did he get with that?
He has life from his first felony charge, which after, you know, 10 years, he can try to parole, but I doubt that's going to happen because my brother committed three other robberies on top of that. So on his first felony charge, he received life, and on the other three, he received 90 years, which
wow.
he's serving which he's serving concurrently, which drops it down to 30. So technically, he may be able to parole after 30 years.
Wow.
You know, and individuals in Florida really need to recognize this law because it is serious.
Man,
it's serious. Like, my brother did not fire a gun. He did not murder anybody. He robbed someone, even though that's not right. I'm not saying that's right, but to give him life on a robbery, wow. On his first felony, you know, on his first charge, wow.
And I want to incinerate on that, too, since you said it just like that. You know, that's just like down in Ohio, right?
Mm-hmm.
This guy, he raped this little 13-year-old girl, burnt her, set her body on fire, right? He do 9 years and come out with a release date now. You feel me? After you done did this to a child. But a man, he go rob a bank or sell drugs, you want to put that man away for natural life. Okay, what about this fool that's going out here doing all these other BS things and you got the revolving door for him? Like, come on, Johnny, you know, we just going to give you 10, but we got you an out date, you know?
Yeah.
But the other man, you don't give him no kind of chance to rehabilitate himself. I feel that the armed robber can be rehabilitated. I feel that the drug dealer can be rehabilitated. But I do not feel nowhere in my heart, my mind, my body, or my soul that no person that go out here and rape little girls and little boys and women, they can't be rehabilitated as far as I'm concerned. They need their own prison locked away for the rest of their life. And if they want to do that, you put them all together. Let them do it to themselves. You know what I mean? That's my thought pattern with that right there, because it shouldn't be no way that the laws uphold them, but the robber and the dope man, we know that's wrong. We all know it's wrong, but these harsh sentences that they give us is outrageous.
Yeah, and it's amazing because when I screen my film at these festivals and I tell them, you know, and make people aware of the law in Florida, it's just like, they're like, wow, they're taken aback by it because they don't understand why it's so harsh, because it's a gun law. You know, understand it's a gun law. But the thing is if a person has not committed a murder, like, why are they getting life? Because you in Florida, if you're in possession of a gun and you don't have a license for it, meaning if you get pulled, you have a gun on you and you don't have a license for it, you could get 10 years in life. I mean, 10 years in, you know, in jail for it.
Bottom line, they don't care what lawyer you get.
So it amazes me.
So and all said and done, what kind of information and what advice will you give these young cats that ain't even in Florida? You know what I mean? Just these young youths that's running around here with their pants all down, trying to be this gangbanger, and knowing they ain't hard or tough at all. What kind of advice would you give these cats?
Basically, it's not worth it because the hood that you're trying to represent or the street corner that you're trying to hold down, you don't own. You don't have a deed. You don't have any type of paperwork that say you own that block. So why are you so adamant about representing it? Because in the end, that block can't save you from going to jail.
Okay.
In the end, when you do go to jail, none of those people that are around you are going to be there to visit you. They're not going to be putting money into your, you know, they're not giving you money for your canteen or whatever it is. None of that is going to happen.
Right, and there's so many young cats out here, you know, like we said, talking about repping your hood, and you ain't repping no hood, because if you repping your hood, you helping the older people in the neighborhood that you watched grow up and grow old in that neighborhood. That's repping your hood. Because
exactly.
You're doing something positive, making sure that the old 80-year-old lady get across the street, or the man with the walker that just come from the doctor and can't get, you making sure he get back and forth home with the groceries. Now that's repping the hood, you know?
Okay.
But you stealing and taking and robbing for the same older people that watch you grow up, you know what I mean? So
yes.
you going out the world, like they say, ass backwards, my brothers and sisters, you know? And it's just ridiculous that people just think so much that you got to be so hard, you know? And
yeah.
That's just like the mafia boys, you know? I mean, people think that is the Costa Nostra is what it is. But even in they clique, man, you know, I read up on a lot of them cats through the years, man. A lot of them cats end up getting 100 years, man. I mean, 100 years. Flat. Ain't no parole. Here, you got 100,
yeah.
And I'll see you when you die. You feel me? And a lot of them that I read up on, when they died, they were like 87 years old, man, and 85 and 80 years old. I mean, the government, when they get tired of you, they tired of you. They don't care if you Costa Nostra, whoever you is, you know what I mean? You ain't going to beat the American government, you know, period. So it's best to sit down, ladies and gentlemen, and learn from this 10 to 20 film and other films that's been out here trying to show you that the streets don't love you back, you know? And go ahead, young lady.
Oh, can I just say, like, these are the type of films that you need to come out and support so people know that there's a need for it. Like, yes, my film has won awards. Yes, you know, we have distribution deals on the table, but right now we're looking for a theatrical release. And although we have theaters interested, we need people in the seats to show them that there's a need for it. You know, like, we're getting ready to screen in Atlanta, April 21st and the 22nd. And it's like, you need to come out and support, because if you don't, then the theaters say, okay, you know what, there's not a need for this film, but we'll go pick up this film over here that has, you know, that's, you know, a comedy. And I understand that it's a, you know, my film's a drama, and it's not really here to make you laugh, but it's an awareness. It's to open up your eyes. So I think you should, you know, come out and definitely support.
Right, and I would like for you to give them your website address, and also if there's a contact number, I would like for you to give that out, and we're going to have you give that out again before we go off the air, but we would like for you to give that information out now as well.
Okay, well, the website is 1020thefilm.com, 1020thefilm.com. There you can see the trailer. You can see the upcoming screenings that we have going on, and there's also a contact page, so you can leave all your contact information, and we can keep you updated on everything that's going on with the film.
All right, that sounds great right there. Now, do you have a relationship with your mom behind all this that went on through your life, or how's that situation?
Oh, yes. Me and my mom have a great relationship. I absolutely adore my mom. I feel like, you know, the relationship between her and my brother could have been better, because this story is told from my perspective, you know. So when my mom saw the film, you know, I asked her, like, how do you feel about it? And she was like, well, you got me 99% right. You know, the only problem she had is that there was no emotion behind her character. But from my perspective, I never really saw the emotion.
Right.
You know, because my mom was one of those women, never, she doesn't want to ever let people see her break down or see her cry. So had I seen that, I probably would have thought she had more empathy towards my brother.
Right. But you can only go on what you had saw coming up with the situation when it was going on.
Exactly.
Right. And how do your brother feel about this film being made about him?
He's definitely excited. He's not able to see it, of course, because, you know, he is locked up. But I do, you know, write him, and I send him pictures of the cast. I send him pictures of how the poster looks. And he's definitely excited about everything.
Right. Well, that's a wonderful thing, because now he can be a prime example on what can go wrong in your life when you don't sit down and communicate with somebody, even if it ain't the counselor, you know, just somebody
that
you can communicate with that'll listen to you, and that will show you the right way, and that will show you the right road to travel, you know, because all the time you don't have to go to no counselor or no strength to get the right role going on, you know.
And you that's don't.
Another thing I'll be wanting to let cats know, you know, you just have to be willing as an individual to listen and take heed at what people tell you, because the strength don't tell you the same thing everybody else telling you. Don't do this, don't do that. So you have to take heed at what's really happening, and you ain't sitting in front of somebody that's just don't really even know you. You know what I mean? So you just want to keep your options open to listen to individuals that's telling you the right thing, for you won't go down that wrong road.
True. And in regards to the counseling, I honestly feel like that should be an option, because in the Black community, some families don't believe in counseling because they think, you know, it's for people who are crazy and things of that nature, but that's not necessarily the case. When you're dealing with a child and you have no other outlet for that child, you need to take them to therapy. Like, there has to be some type of relief, because if there isn't, you know, there's crime that is involved in that, like everything that's going to spiral from that, the domino effect from not being able to, you know, go to counseling. Even if that child declined, you still have to force the issue because it's a child.
Right.
You don't want them to grow up and be that angry man.
Right, or that angry girl.
Angry female, yeah.
Right, because it happens in girls as well that grows
True.
Up and they go through the same thing, you know, and it's probably women right now that's locked up in prison for the same thing, you know, abandonment from mom and dad, or mom, or, you know, molested coming up as a kid, and then mom don't want to believe it's happening. So it's all kind of tricks to the trades out here that goes on that spiral these kids out of control out here. And then when little Johnny or Susie get out of control, then everybody all of a sudden don't know what's wrong with little Johnny or Susie. But you know what's wrong because they done tried to tell you. You know what I mean? It's just sometimes the parents just be so naive that they don't want to listen, because they so wrapped up in that whatever going on with them at the time, you know?
Yeah.
So they don't have time for little Johnny or Susie's story, you dig? So that's why it's important to always be able to have somebody to talk to, period, you know? And somebody that will listen and give you that listening ear, and that can respond back to what you're saying. So that is definitely another option out here. And like Ms. Teresa said, that's an option of going to see a therapist, or just going to see somebody that understands what's happening in your life that can give you a good direction, you know? So we're kicking it live tonight right here at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show with the director of the 1020, and we're going to take another commercial break and get another song in. And we got a caller. Hold on before we take that break. Caller, you on the air? You there, caller? You at the Streets Don't Love You Back show. You there? Well, I guess they might just want to listen in.
Maybe so.
All right. Well, we're going to take that break and get that song in and get that other commercial in, and we're going to be right back with the director of the 1020.
Young
struggle. In my life, wanna make a change, but they think they cold. Put them lyrics down, and now I'm selling these dope. On the streets, trying to make that green, but it wasn't easy. Shit I was doing wasn't too tough, I'm gonna be sleazy. But I got past that stage, I had to bail. Living like a tail, but went fast times in the county jail. That was a wake up call, but did I listen? Doing wrong things that extra change. Sure ain't what you're missing. Boy, I can't help it, but sometimes I have to cry. Going through all these changes in my life, and I don't know why. And it's taking longer. Just tell me how long do our babies have to die from hunger? It seems as everything is coming to an end. Will I lose my life, lose my babies, or go to the pen? I don't know, so I got to make it better for myself. Selling tracks and stacking cream is the way to wealth. That's what a woman like me thinks about, baby. Trying to make a change, cause things for me is getting really shady. I'm on the road to ecstasy and so much envious. With all them buses and them hoes, I know I can trust. So many haters in this.
my life. Before I finish, I'm the thug. These pushers and hustlers pursue your riches. I'm still living the life while others locked up in prison. So listen, the shit that I did was illegal, but I'm not going in depth with you people. So let me do what I gotta do. It really doesn't matter who. Don't like my chain, stay away from me if it bothers you, cause I don't get mine. You better change yours. You say it's open opportunities, but all I see is closed doors. Cause my LIFE had me in a state of misery. Made me want to go back in my past and change my history. Shut up. Definition of shit that I was going through. Living out my life just like the Romans do. See, I'm a rope without a fall. A nigga with brass balls. Trying to keep my head above the water before I fall. Because my life was like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under with this lightning and this thunder. My mind be drifting up on some psychopathic shit. But I'm not a killer, so let me keep it on the rhythm. All that I know that there's a change gon' come. I'm living my life from where I'm at, yeah, not from where I'm from.
Show still kicking it live with the director of the 1020, and I'm gonna pass the mic again over to the missus and let her keep doing what she do.
Teresa, have you researched the gun laws in other states, knowing what you know about the Florida laws?
I have not.
Okay. Just curious. You know, as we've been doing gang prevention and learning more about that. I found out that most kids that are turning to the streets is because they're having troubles at home. You know, a lot of parents are in denial, and that, you know, they don't want to believe that there's trouble. But, you know, if they would take the time to sit down with the kids and talk to the kids and know on a day-to-day basis what's really going on and who their friends are and things like that, you know, they wouldn't be out in the streets. And we're finding that kids, you know, 8, 9, and 10 years old are running around with guns because the older kids or young adults are giving them the drugs to run and they're doing the dirty work for the older people because they don't get in trouble as young kids.
Exactly, which is sad.
It is sad. So there's you know, a lot of younger kids running around with guns, which is pretty scary because they don't realize or know the consequences, obviously.
Yes. And to just piggyback on what you said, a lot of films that do address, you know, gun issues and things of that nature, they never look internally into what's going on in the family. And that's why I wanted to address it that way, because you're always just judging the person and you never look deeper.
Right.
At where the problem stemmed from.
Yes.
Exactly.
And that was a great theme. I wanted to just tell you that right on live show. That was a great theme, how you, set back and articulate, put that together from your vision and seeing that people have to understand where a problem stems from in order to know how to correct the problem down the line. So the way you put that was a great, great way, and I hope that corrects a lot of other people that's going through that same situation or similar situation. Once they have time to see the movie and everything, that it could touch a nerve or touch someone's mind and touch someone's life to say, wow, that's me. I have that problem with my child, or I have that problem within the family, period. And we can address that and start looking more deep into what's going on in the households that are always saying it's in the streets, it's in the street. Yeah, we know the streets don't love you back. We all know that. But what makes the individual run to the streets? And that's what we have to start looking at more instead of stop condemning. So I definitely agree with that, young lady.
Right. And most of the kids out there, too, are, you know, they're out there because they're getting a little bit of recognition. And people are, you know, in the gangs are, you know, lifting them up and making them feel like that so that they'll go out and do the illegal activity for them. And, you know, they just don't realize what they're getting into when they get out there. But they're running from something, looking for something.
And they're not going to find it in the streets, guaranteed.
Not at all. And from your perspective, I would like for you to just tell the audience, you know, what you as your own individual would like for the audience to get totally from the movie.
Basically, what I want people to take away from the movie, I want it to open up dialogue within families, because every family has a secret. You know, and it's like, why should I have to hold inside a secret that you're telling me about another family member? You know, like, why does that have to be a burden that I have to hold? Like, you have to learn how to communicate, because it's so devastating on the family and on the person once they find out. It's not just the person that's affected. It's the entire family in some way, shape, or form that's affected. And if you don't, like, if you don't communicate, there's going to be a problem.
And the problem could be devastating, like your brother's was, or and the flip side of that, it could be to the point where somebody get killed. Because you got now, you got family that's, they tripping off the old block instantly. You know what I mean?
Or the first thing
they think is killing.
Exactly. Or it can also be suicide. Like, someone can't handle what you just told them, and they may not want to address the situation. They may not be mentally as strong, so it can be anything from crime to suicide to murder. It's anything. It's just the fact that you have to open up the dialogue. You have to dialogue.
For people to understand that, hey, it's here for you to talk about. It's here for you to communicate. It's here. It's an open door policy. If you want to talk about something, you don't have to jump off the old block or jump off the top building, because nobody's listening to you, you know what I mean? So we're giving everybody that clear understanding and that clear opportunity that if you have something on your mind out here in America and you feel you need to talk about it, and if you're listening to the show tonight, you need to be calling up a family member or somebody that you can communicate with, and you need to get that off your chest, for you won't be the one jumping off the building or killing your whole family, you know? And we need to stop that, because, like the young lady just said, there's so many people running around here tripping and lying to each other all through the family. So when the truth do come out, nobody even know what the truth is half of the time, you know? Because five people in the family done told five different stories, but put the initial N on the front. But when it's getting through told, it ain't even the same story that kicked off. So we must understand, we have to dialogue, like she said, and we have to open up and be a listening ear, or we have to just be a person that's giving out the information. You know, it got to be either or. But let's stop all this misunderstanding within the family, and let's start doing the right thing, you know? And with that being said and done, I just wanted to say, when you do communicate with your brother, what do he communicate about with you far as him being incarcerated, and how did his incarceration affect him for being gone and making that mistake?
Well, he's realizing that, you know, the people who claimed to care about him really didn't, which, you know, were the people in the streets who he involved himself with. He also writes me in terms of, you know, he's reading more and he's like trying to study the Bible and he just wants to basically get out. Like, he's realized how bad he's messed up his life. And it took him getting locked up to realize this, you know. He writes me about a lot of things in terms of, you know, things he was doing when he was out that I may not have known about, you know, just trying to survive. And which actually I just received that letter maybe a month ago, which just absolutely broke my heart because it was just some things that I did not know that he was just expressing to me after, you know, I had sent him a card and he just loved the card. And he just, I guess he was feeling really, really down on himself. So he just wanted to write and get everything out, like everything he was thinking and everything he was feeling about certain family members and people that may be close to where he's locked up and no one has yet to visit him. And whenever he gets a letter, it's always for me. It's from, you know, no one else writes him, you know, besides my mom. My mom writes him occasionally, but she doesn't even write him as much as she should.
Right.
Right. You know, so.
So that you know, and when you're in them gates, you know, that tears any individual down, whether you're female or male, because,
yeah,
you know, you try to do whatever you're doing on the streets, and when you get locked up, then that's when you definitely see that the streets definitely don't love you back,
yeah,
because the people that you're hanging with, it can even be family members or just regular people in the street. You know, once you lock down, I mean, a lot of times you've forgotten, you know?
Yeah.
And you look around and say to yourself, wow, I shouldn't have been running, doing this with my man, or I shouldn't have been doing this and that. So people really have to address themselves to the point where you can't burn bridges out here and you can't be tripping out here because you never know when you might need that helping hand. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get locked up, people just really say, man, I ain't thinking about that so-and-so. I ain't thinking about her, this, that, and other. You know what I mean? So you got to walk light-footed, as my mama used to say. You know, even when you're out in the street doing wrong, you know, you have to walk light-footed because you never know when that time will come where you really lock down doing some real time and not just no 18 months or no 6 months, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
we got to be aware of how we treat each other out here. Do you agree with that?
I agree.
Definitely. Tricia, how old did you say your brother was when he was shipped back to your mom?
I'm sorry, you said what?
How old was your brother?
He was about 11.
And then how old was he when he got convicted?
He was 19 when he got convicted.
So in between that, did he spend a lot of the times out in the street, or did he just kind of go?
He did, and going back and forth between my aunt and my mom, because when he came down to originally live with us and him and my mom were butting heads a lot, you know, he asked at one point to go back to live with my aunt, but that still didn't work out because she ended up literally driving him back down to West Palm Beach and literally dropping his stuff off and him on our doorstep. So it's like he's been through abandonment more than one time.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. So it's, yeah. So in between that time, he's also, you know, living on the streets and trying to maintain because he doesn't feel like, in my opinion, in my eyes, that anyone really loves him or is willing to take, you know, take the time with him to see what's going on. My mom said that, you know, she tried, but from my perspective, I really didn't see as much as, you know, she tells me, because I was young too, so it's not like you're going to involve a child into grown folks' business.
Right, right.
So,
did your mom give him at birth?
I'm sorry, huh?
Did your mom give him to your aunt as soon as he was born?
Yes, probably maybe when he was a month or 2 months old, maybe.
So all he knew was your auntie then, bottom line, right?
Yeah. As his mother. He knew my mom, but as his aunt.
Wow. That's deep.
Yeah. So when we have family functions and things of that nature, and my aunt would come over with my brother, you know, who I knew was my brother, but I couldn't say that he was my brother.
Right.
You know, it would, yeah, it, you know, it's deep.
It had to be real hard on you.
It was at one point, because there were situations when I was younger where I would run over to my brother and say, you know, you're my brother, right, in a playful manner, but it's not like he ever believed me. He was young. You know, I'm young, so, and he never questioned it.
Right, right.
You know, so, huh?
Are you two the only children?
No. It's, he's the youngest. He's the youngest. It's five of us total. It was six. My oldest brother passed away. But I have two older sisters and two younger brothers. I'm the middle. And my younger brother, of course, is who we're talking about right now.
Right. And how old is he now?
He's 21, turning 22.
So he just got that time at 19. So he only been down a couple of years.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's real deep then, you know what I mean? Because he ain't even really begun his walk yet.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Yeah, he ain't even got across the cradle yet, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm feeling that, you know what I mean? Because I can sympathize with that, because my oldest son been in prison 15 years. So
mm-hmm.
I can definitely sympathize with all of that, you know? He been
full
in prison
adult life
since he was
so
17. Yeah, my son, 31
wow.
years old now. He's been in prison since he was 17 years old for a murder, you know?
Wow.
And he's a grown man now. Just imagine, you know, your child going away at 17, and you look up, and he's 31 years old. Now, he'd be 32
yeah.
in August. So, yeah, I can definitely relate to that. And I have not seen my son since he was 17, far as laying eyes on him, like, seeing a person, you know, we just talk
yeah.
on the phone and things like that, but nobody can even imagine that in a million years, how that feels to lose a child to anything, whether it's death or prison or to drugs or what have you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important that you know, your movie's out there and that we get out here and educate, you know, everybody, not only the youth about, you know, gangs and street life and guns and things like that, but adults and everybody, because, you know, there's too many people behind bars right now that shouldn't be. And, you know, they're suffering, their families are suffering, their children are suffering. And, you know, if some of the laws do need to be changed, you know, maybe gun laws, drug laws, you know, but the people that should be in prison or jail should be there, but there's so many people that, you know, are in there way too long.
I agree.
Definitely agree. Need people to you know, write their legislatures and try to get these laws changed.
Right, definitely. And do you see a predictive date that the movie will flourish across the country?
I'm sorry, you said what now?
I say, do you see a date coming soon where the movie will flourish across the country in every theater?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're trying to get a limited theatrical release for it now, so it won't be at, you know, every theater across the country, but as far as the straight-to-DVD release, that's going to be January 2011.
Okay.
Because, you know, we're trying to do all the marketing and stuff for it now. We could release it now through the distribution company, but we're choosing not to.
Mm-hmm.
People can pre-order the DVD through my website, which they technically still won't get it until January, but the only difference is it'll be autographed by the, you know, the cast.
Right.
And also, yeah, we're trying to get a limited theatrical release before, you know, the DVD release, of course. But we need people to come out and support the film in Atlanta, because we had that theater interested in possibly giving us a limited theatrical release, but they want to see the turnout.
Right, right.
So the theater
and all over. I could see this movie all over the place. I mean, the trailer's just awesome. The story's awesome.
You know the hard part about, you know, trying to really get it out there is the word of mouth and through emails is that, you know, people don't pass the email on. You know, just forward the email on. You never know, you know, who may want to come out and see it.
Right.
You know, so.
Just picking it up, period.
Exactly, exactly.
You know what I mean?
So
you might hit the right email, you know what I mean? And You know, out there in L.A., have you seen about getting it in the Magic Theaters out there?
No, I actually personally contacted the Magic Theaters, but I have not heard anything back because Magic no longer owns the theaters.
Oh, wow.
From what I've been told, yeah, someone else owns the theaters, but his name is still attached.
Oh, okay then.
Yeah.
That's a downer there then. So you have to go another route with that then, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely looking forward to the theatrical release, but we need to get people in the seats. So.
Yeah, definitely. So we definitely want you to say that out loud one more time about the Atlanta, screening.
Okay. We're screening in Atlanta April 21st at 9:45 p.m. at the Landmark Midtown Art Cinema Theaters in downtown Atlanta. And we have a second screening April 22nd at 12:20 p.m. at the Landmark Midtown Art Cinema Theater. So if you are in the Atlanta area, I would definitely love to see you. I will be in attendance with two of my lead actors for a Q&A session to follow.
That sounds good. And give them that website one more time.
And the website information is 1020thefilm.com, 1020thefilm.com.
All right, and you can also log on to www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com, and you can also get information off our movement site dealing with the 1020 film. From the day me and my wife seen that trailer, I put it up on our movement page and told her about it, and we've been promoting it ever since. So we definitely would like for you to go there, and there's a lot of information there as well for you to keep following up with the 1020 film as well.
Mm-hmm. Teresha, how did you go about choosing the cast for this film?
Well, we held auditions, but as far as my main actors were concerned, I already knew who I wanted to use because my business partner, who is also the lead in the film, his manager manages a couple of the actors that I wanted, that I've seen their work throughout the years, and I'm like, oh, I would love to work with them. And just sat down, had a meeting with them, you know, spoke to them about the film and, you know, where I saw it going, and pretty much everyone was on board. Pretty much everyone was on board, and I was amazed by, you know, the love that everyone showed me, because it's not like we had the biggest budget in the world, so... Yeah, it was amazing. And so probably I would say maybe like 9 of my cast members I already knew who I wanted, and they said yes, and everyone else we held a audition. Mm-hmm. Big casting.
And the lead, Josh Shams?
Josh Shams, yes, yes.
How did this impact him playing the part of your brother?
Well, he was really taken aback by it at first because we were originally working on another project. And when I heard the news about my brother, we immediately stopped. I'm like, you don't understand. Like, this is a story I need to tell. Like, we have to tell this now. And I, you know, told him about the story. And he was just like, oh my God, this is someone I would like to play, because I told him about like how my brother used to do certain things. And, you know, the background behind why my brother is the way he is, and mentally, physically, he went there. He, you know, studied everything that I told him about my brother, and he really wanted to put his all into the role, which is why I actually cast him, because even though we're business partners, he's not going to be in every film that we do. You know, he still has to audition like everyone else. So, yeah.
That sounds great, Dan, you know. And that, like I say, just the little clip I've seen is dynamite, you know, so we're definitely encouraging people in Atlanta and anywhere else that the screening will be. We're definitely encouraging you to get out there, fill them seats up, take your kids, take grandmama, take uncle, take cousin, take everybody, and get on out there in Atlanta and do your thing and support that film, and tell your whole family, because so many people, it's a definitely neat film to watch and look at. You know, so many people still living in the dark out here. So let's brighten them eyes open a little bit and get with that film, 1020.
Okay. And again, that's April 21st and 22nd.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So do you have any shout-outs you would like to give?
Yeah, I would just like to say thank you for everyone that has come out to support the film. We've had everyone from Kim Wayans to CCH Pounder, you know, come out and support the film. So I just want to say thank you to everyone that keeps, you know, coming out to support.
That sounds good, you know. So any shout-outs to the family, anybody?
I'll say a shout-out to my mom. She knows I absolutely adore her. So that's about it. My brother, you know, keep your head up, even though he's not, you know, listening.
Right, right. Well, you know, God knows everything. So, you know, he definitely know that the brother's in spirit, you know what I mean?
Most definitely.
Regardless if he's not here, we're going to lift him up in spirit tonight, and that he definitely be a shining light in some family's eyes, and that, you know, to open their eyes up, to know how to communicate with family and know how to at least break somebody off something real lightly, you know what I mean, and not be so dramatic like that situation was, just dropping a little child off at the door and say, here you go, I'm out of here, you know, and the young man confused and don't know what's going on. So we asking mothers and fathers, let's try to, you know, get on the right track with all of that back and forth thing, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm going to turn the mic over to the missus and let her do what she do as usual.
Well, again, Teresa, we'd like to thank you very much for being a guest on our show tonight. And we're definitely, you know, pushing your film along as much as we can, you know, on our website as well as Facebook. And
thank you. I appreciate it.
That. I can't wait to see it myself, you know. I think the trailer's awesome. I'm like, oh, my God, I want to see this.
Yeah, we're definitely trying to get it in the theater, so hopefully it comes your way.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I could see it in a theater, so I'm wishing you a lot of success, and I would love to see it out here in the theaters.
Thank you so much.
And we would just like to let everybody know that we have our show every Wednesday night, and join us next week, same time, 11:30 Eastern Time, 8:30 Pacific. Actually, yeah, it's still time zone changes next week, but it's still 8:30 Pacific time. And that's about all I have to say. Log on to our website and get the book, The Streets Don't Love You Back. And we now have the book on ebook that you can order at lulu.com. And what else?
We got The Streets Don't Love You Back calendar. Don't forget to get your calendar and put it in your office or your house.
Y'all have the CD too, right?
What about
the CD?
We got so much on the floor, you know what I mean? We got the soundtrack popping off, you know, we got the book popping off. And
working on a new book we're keeping busy.
Right, and we also got our clothesline coming real soon, The Streets Don't Love You By Clothesline. That's going to be popping off this summer. So be prepared, people, to be in your short sets. Ladies, be in your tank tops and your shorts and, you know what I mean, and your sun visors and your T-shirts, because it's coming, boom, at a store near you, baby. So don't get it twisted, you know what I mean? We keep it moving, we keep it popping, and we definitely keep the money flipping, you dig? So with all that being said and done, we thank you so much, Teresa, for coming on the show tonight. And we give you much love and blessings and respect with the film. And one day, I wish to work with you as well, you know what I mean, with what we got going on.
Oh, yeah, we're
going
to talk about that. Yeah, we're most definitely going to talk about that.
And we're going to keep it moving because, like I said, you know, ain't nothing like working through a woman's eyes that know what it is to do what it do. You know, I ain't knocking you homies, but, you know, we have to start giving the ladies a big up at what they do as well, you know what I mean? So let's do what we do out here, man, and God bless. And I'm going to turn it back to the missus, and she always go out with her favorite song, you know?
Well, yep. Go out with a song, In Need of a Change by LB, and we will meet you back here next Wednesday night. Have a good week.
All right. Holla.
Yeah. LD.
though far too often we look back in hindsight and wish, say, I wish I just had one more chance.
Won't let me forget that I done let down the best of my years. But you can see the drive in my eyes and the hint of surprise, because I haven't first come to see. And with my chin to the sky high, so the sunshine like that on the line with no place to see. As I'm in need of a change, maybe from the inside out. Let these two up for a to try to shut my mouth. I done seen a lot of things that I've never talked about. If I could do it all again, I never let them in my house. I done made some mistakes, apologize and reconcile. I done changed all my way from what I was as a child. Stood on my mama's great brain, poured down from the cloud. Dropped to my knees and prayed I'd have a reason to smile. Running around any street, chasing girls, thought I learned all the world had to teach. But one day I lied awake, realized I didn't know it. And it hit me like a brick, wish I could do it all again. But I can't, and I ain't anyway. I read and brave, write my future like a book. As I turn another page, as the lights go down, I walk across the stage, rub the law for luck. But more importantly, I pray that everything will be okay. And somehow I know it is, all I gotta do right now is get through this bullshit. Keep my chin to the sky, put my back against the wall. Fuck out, I will fight, fight, scratch and claw. And still stand tall, in the belly of the beast. Be afraid of nothing in this world, we got to be. Sometimes I still slip if I forget my sleep, but that's why I hit my knees soon as I lose the sheep. No more waiting. Life is not a game. Sometimes you might not get a second chance. Don't be jealous of others. Do for your damn self.